Thank you, kids, for the blessing. That was great. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you have your scriptures with you this morning, please turn to the Gospel according to John. We are in chapter 16 this morning. And we'll be doing 16 to 33. If you're using a Pew Bible, it's page 902. John 16, verses 16 to 33. This morning, I will be wrapping up Jesus' discourse that he's been having with the disciples. There's 11 of them, and Jesus, they're walking. He's preparing them for his departure. As you can imagine, they're a little bit unsure. They're filled with fear. They're anxious. They're not sure everything that Jesus is talking about, and he's trying to remind them that he's the one who's overcome. He's the one who can bring joy. He's the one who can bring peace. It's found in him in the midst of when you just don't understand everything. He's just saying, lean into me a little more. We wrap up this discourse this morning, and then we'll begin chapter 17 when I return from study leave. And John chapter 17 is Jesus' high priestly prayer. It's the longest prayer that we have of Jesus recorded in Scripture. We'll spend 3 weeks in that prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. It's a glorious prayer. We'll discover how Jesus and the Father loves his church and how he intercedes for them. And we'll see what Jesus prays for his church and what we can be mindful of us in our prayer lives as we seek to grow closer to God and things. So that's what's coming in a few weeks. John McCombs will be here with you this coming Sunday. Many of you know him, great guy, great pastor. So he'll be here with you this coming Sunday, and we'll minister the Lord's Supper with you all as well. So you can look forward to that. But this morning we'll wrap up John 16 here. We'll pray and then we'll begin. Father, we thank you for this time to look into your word. And in your providence, it's a good word as always. And Lord, we wrestle with many, many things, and things we just don't understand and think of, just the impossibilities of life at times. And you just say, you don't have to have it figured out. You know our weakness way better than we do. Sometimes we have way too much confidence in ourselves. And you tell us ahead of time, he goes, I know you're going to fail. I know you're going to struggle. He says, take heart. I have overcome the world. And in you we can find peace and we can rest. And so, Lord, as we work through this text this morning, I pray, Spirit, you would teach us, you would guide us, and help us to believe these things. Believe them way down deep in the core of our being, that we could rest in Christ. That no matter the storms that come, Jesus overcomes. And so we pray these things in his name. Amen. So John 16, verses 16 to 33, this is God's word. Jesus says, a little while and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, what is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me. Again, a little while and you will see me, and because I'm going to the Father. So they were saying, what does he mean by a little while? We don't know what he's talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, is this what you were asking yourselves, what I meant by saying a little while and you will not see me? And again, a little while and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep, lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice. And no one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have not asked anything in my name. Ask and you will receive it, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me I believe that I've come from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and that you do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Amen. This ends God's reading this morning. D.L. Moody, he writes, "Did you ever think that Christ, while he was dying on the cross, had a will? Perhaps you thought no one would ever remember you in their dying will and leave you something. Did you ever know that Christ, when he was dying on the cross, he had a will made for his people?" D.L. Moody writes, "If you are in the kingdom, Christ has remembered you in his will. Jesus said to his disciples, 'My peace I leave with you.' That's my legacy," Jesus says. "My joy, I give that to you. My joy, think of it, my peace, not our peace of the world, but the peace that only Christ can offer," he says, "I give to you." D.L. Moody continues to write. He goes, "I know lawyers can try to take a will that somebody wrote and try to change it and break it so the person cannot receive what the deceased person wants to give to that individual." He says, "There's no lawyer that can break Christ's will. Let them try. No judge or jury can set that aside, Christ's will. See, Christ rose to execute his own will." He writes, "If Jesus had left us gold back then, thieves would have stolen it a long time ago. But Jesus left us his peace and his joy for every true believer. And no power on earth can take it from him who trusts." Jesus' desire for his disciples, his desire for you, is to have peace and joy in a world that's full of tribulation, heartache, brokenness, and fallenness. A joy and peace that no one, nothing, can take away. And if you're like me, you say, "Great, sign me up, but how? But how?" And that's where joy and peace are first discovered. You need to ask God, "How? How can we have this joy and peace?" Walking with Jesus involves asking questions about him and his ways. A relationship with God, a communion with God, a walking with God seeks to understand who Jesus is, what he's doing in the world, and what he's doing in our lives. If you haven't asked questions to Jesus, it's either that you're scared or you simply don't care. God encourages interaction with himself, a seeking to understand who he is and his ways. He invites honest searching. Jeremiah 29:13, he writes to his people, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." In Isaiah 1:18, the Lord writes, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. They are red like crimson, they will be like wool." He says, "Come, let us reason together." You want joy, you want peace in your life, even though you know you have this sin, that you are weak, that you have this past, that if we knew about it, we wouldn't want to sit beside you. But Jesus and God says, "Let us reason together. You have sin that's bright red, that's like a stain on your shirt. Let me tell you something. I can take it away and make it beautifully white as wool. You can have peace. You can have joy." He says, "Come, let us reason. This is why I have sent Jesus. This is why I have sent him, to give you hope and peace." Ask him questions. Things in life are hard to understand at times. What Jesus does at times in his providence and his guiding this world in our day, in our lives, it's complex, it's deep, it's interrelated, and all about to bring good for his people and for his glory. Ask him questions. There's things revealed in his word that he wants us to know. He wants us to know the way of salvation, which is in Christ. He wants us to know who this God is, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a doctrine that just blows our mind that we can't grab a hold of. He wants us to know what it means to love and to live, what it means just to walk and follow God. That's revealed in his word. When you ask questions, look for those things in his word. And ask questions. Even if there's not an answer directly in his word, there are some things that are left to his hidden, own wise counsel, to his will, like the events of yesterday. There's no way we can prophetically say why God allowed that to happen yesterday. We cannot, but we know that he allowed it for the good of his people and for his glory. What evil people meant to do for evil, he says, God will mean for good. If you doubt that, think of the cross of Jesus. Why did God allow the cross of Jesus? It was the most horrific act in human history. The innocent Lamb of God, the Son of God, brutally and justly betrayed, beaten. Why? For our salvation. For your salvation. And even in the events of yesterday, we cannot say why, but we wait and pray and see how God will work good through it. And we wait on him. It's good to ask questions. He wants that interaction. He wants that relationship. For the disciples at this point, they're asking, they're struggling. Jesus, what did you mean that a little while you will not see me and in a little while you will? What are you talking about? They're scratching their heads, and Jesus knows that they're wondering what they're wrestling with. And though the text, as we go through it, doesn't give a definitive answer, there's three possibilities to what Jesus means. A little while you won't see me and a little while you will. Some people think he's referring ultimately to his second coming. That Jesus, after he ascends to heaven, there will be a time when he will come and set things right and everything is fully consummated. There will be no more death, dying, and joy and peace will be at its maximum, because he's restored all things. So some people will think of that. Some people think it's the day of Pentecost, that when after Jesus ascends and goes back to the Father, after 40 days he sends the Holy Spirit to come to empower his people, and Christ is with his people through the Holy Spirit. Some people think that. I think it's talking about the death and the resurrection. A little while you won't see me. A little while I'm going to go into a tomb. A little while I'm going to go into a tomb, but in 3 days you're going to see me. And it changes everything in human history. It changes everything. Now that affects everything else throughout. It does affect Pentecost and his second coming. But I think that is what he's talking about. The disciples are scratching their heads and are wanting to understand what he's talking about. So Jesus responds. He says in verse 20, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come, but when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." Leads us to our second point, that you can have joy and peace knowing sorrow is temporary and joy is eternal. Sorrow is for a moment, but morning is coming. A new day is coming and joy is eternal in Christ. Jesus says, you will go through a season of sorrow. You will weep, you will lament. It will seem like the world is crashing down around you. In just a matter of hours, the disciples will see their leader, Jesus, brutally crucified and put to death. Can you imagine what that might have felt like for them? Not only will they have this heavy and painful sorrow that seems just like a heavy blanket of just sorrow, the crowds around them will be rejoicing that Christ is dead. They'll be saying, "Yes, Christ is dead. That one who called me a sinner, he's out of the way. The one who called me to repent, the one who said that I couldn't get to God on my own, he is dead." They will be rejoicing. Can you imagine what the disciples felt in the midst of that crucifixion. This crowd, this people around them would rather see Jesus, who is innocent, crucified than one who is a murderer named Barabbas. Twisted. Jesus says, you will weep. You will lament. We see the Christian life, we will have seasons of sorrow. It's the cost of loving God and loving our neighbor in a fallen world full of death, disease, and evil. We know things just aren't right yet. This is why we cry out for a deliverer, a savior, and someone who can make things right. This is why we cry out, Jesus, save. But Jesus says, after that season of sorrow, it will turn to joy. And it will be a joy that no one can take away from you. And Jesus gives the illustration of a woman giving birth. I never had that experience, but I hear it's pretty painful. I wish it wasn't happening. I wish it would just go away. It's the worst. Jesus says, a woman, when it's the time of labor, it's hard, it's sorrowful, and she just wish it was over. And then in an instant, when that baby is born, and the miracle of that baby being born, you forget about the sorrow and the pain, and you're just overjoyed with that miracle before you. Jesus says, your sorrow will turn into that kind of joy. In Psalm 30, verse 11, it writes, you have turned me from my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me in righteousness. Remember, sorrow is momentary, joy is eternal. Even in the midst of the sorrow, it's underneath that heavy blanket of sorrow. It's there because you know Jesus overcomes. And in Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may tarry for a night, but joy comes in the morning. If you're in the midst of that season, know it's temporary. Know that he's carrying you through, and joy is yours forever. For the disciples, they will go through their emotional pain and agony and sorrow, but in a moment, in a few days, they will witness the miracle of the one who overcomes the grave, the resurrection. The one who can deliver, the one who can save, the one who can take away the curse, the fallenness of this world, the fallenness of disease and evil forever. They saw Jesus risen from the grave. They had joy. They could just leap. They were not afraid of anything any longer. They didn't care what would come their way. They knew they had the one who could overcome. Yeah, they will still have moments of sorrow. They will have moments of pain that they will need to walk through. But now they know the one who gloriously overcomes, and he will have good and glory through no matter the situation. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the conqueror. He's the victor. And you can possess that joy today. You can know that joy today by anchoring into Christ through faith. Knowing that you are weak, that you are frail, that you are a sinful person left to yourself, but Jesus can overcome. That our bodies are breaking down and decaying, but Jesus can overcome. He's risen. He's a risen Lord. Anchor into him. You can have joy and peace knowing that this sorrow is temporary, but joy is eternal. And Jesus continues to answer their question in verse 23. If you look there in your text, in verse 23 says, in that day you ask me nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father, you will, in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you ask in my name, and I do not say that I will ask on the Father's behalf of you, because the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me. You can have joy and peace because you have direct access to God through Christ. You have direct access to God through Christ. Jesus says to them, after my resurrection, after I go back to the Father, your joy will be full because you can go right to the Father and pray. You don't need to go to a saint. You don't need to go to a priest. You can go directly to the Father in my name. Jesus is a living, victorious warrior. Jesus has secured our relationship with the Father and the disciples, and you can pray directly to the Father in Jesus' name and have direct access. The Father doesn't have a secretary that you call. Does the Father have time to talk to me today? You can go right to the Father. You have a direct connection to the Father that you can call Daddy. Daddy, this hurts. Daddy, help. You can go right to Him with your sorrows. Because Jesus says, the Father loves you. Jesus says, I don't need to go on your behalf. I don't need to. You can go right to Him because you love me. I like what Timothy Keller writes. He says, the only person who dares to wake up a king at 3 a.m. for a glass of water is a child. And that's the kind of access you have with God. Let me share that again. This is the only person who dares to wake up a king. You go before a king at 3 in the morning. The only person who would dare to do that for a drink of water is a child. You have that kind of access with God, the Supreme King. Because you're connected with Christ. There's one mediator between God and man. That is the man, Jesus Christ. We pray in His name because He is the one who takes us there. We go to God because we can go with confidence because of what Jesus has done, because He has atoned for our sins, and we are adopted into the family. You have all the rights and privileges of a child of the home of the King. So pray in His name. Know that He hears you. Let your joy be full. He hears you. Go to God knowing that He hears you in Christ. Your prayers aren't lost in the answering machine. Your prayers aren't only half heard and God just drifts off thinking of something else. He hears every part of your prayers. He is the best listener and will give the best answers to your request. It might not be what you want or expected, but it'll be the best answers. Know that He will give you wisdom, strength, and support and comfort for the day. You have direct access to God. That is amazing. You need to think of that. You need to rejoice in that. And then the disciples reply in verse 29. Oh, now you're speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. And Jesus answered them. He knows their hearts so well. He knows our hearts so well. He goes, do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. I said these ahead of time, so you would know that I know these things and you can have peace in the midst of it. Because in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And leads us to our last point. You can have joy and peace because it's not dependent on your survival and trying to figure everything out, but on Jesus who overcomes the world. The disciples are starting to understand. And they seem a little bit too confident in their faith. And Christ says, you guys are going to run like chickens. You're going to see that mob coming after me. You're going to see Judas betray me. You're just going to run. If our faith depended on our wills, there would be no security and no confidence. There would be no peace. But Jesus says, I have said these things to you. I see these things. I see your weaknesses. I see your struggles. I see it all. But I want you to have peace because I can overcome the world. No matter the doubts, the questions, the frustrations, the hurt, the frailty. He says, I have overcome. And what does Jesus overcome? He overcomes injustice. He overcomes hatred. He overcomes sorrow, unrest, anxiety, abuse, decay, death, rejection, loneliness, guilt, shame, wrath, sin with all its penalties and miseries. He overcomes it all. And when you're united to Him in faith, you will overcome as well. You can have peace no matter the storm, no matter the tribulation. He's overcome. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to try to survive and get it all right. In fact, you might be afraid and flee because of your faith. Jesus says, I got you. I got you. I'll bring you home. In 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9, it says this, we have this treasure in jars of clay. We're a picture of jars of clay that are fragile, easily broken, and leaky. We have this treasure to show the surpassing power belongs to God and not us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Jesus, we overcome. J.C. Rao writes, as Jesus sums up this departing discourse, he does not tell us that we won't have trouble. He holds no promise of freedom from tribulation while we are here on this earth. But he bids us rest in the thought that he has fought our battle and won a victory for us. Though tried and troubled and vexed with things here below, we shall not be destroyed. Be of good cheer is his departing charge. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus says, my peace I leave with you. My joy I give to you that no one can take away. He wants you to know that. He wants you to believe that. It's a reality. It's there. It's underneath the weight of that sorrow that you're going through. It's there. And he says, just rest in Christ who overcomes. Ask him questions. Go to him with your sorrows. Go to him with your griefs. Ask him questions. He's a big enough God to answer them. And know that his blood will cover all your sins. You can have joy and peace knowing that that sorrow is just temporary and you have an eternal weight of glory in Christ. You can have joy because you can go directly to God with everything through Christ. You can have joy because you don't have to figure it all out. You're going to mess it up. You're not going to be perfect. And Jesus says, take heart. In this world you will have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. Trust him this morning. Go to him this morning. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would do your work of stealing our souls, that they would be rest like a calm lake, even in the midst of a stormy sea, that you would speak to our hearts and say, peace, be still. Lord, let us know, have us to know that your Son's blood covers all of our sins. All of them. You will strengthen us. You will empower us. We will be filled with joy, but there will be moments of heartache. Let us remember the one who's overcome the grave, that he's rolling and reigning on high, that he is the King who overcomes. Help us to rest in him today and in the days ahead. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.